It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Picture this. You go into a doctor's office needing a prosthetic device or a hip or knee replacement, say. And after taking your measurements, they print one for you, exactly customized to your needs.
Three-dimensional printing in healthcare started in the 1980s when patients received replacement bladders in part built with printers.
Today, the industry has expanded to prosthetics, dentistry, and pharmaceuticals. Researchers are even developing 4D printing material that can change shape over time and adapt to the body's needs.
UW Stout is on the cutting edge of 3D printing in healthcare and in other fields. Two researchers there recently wrote a piece in The Conversation about the potential for medical applications.
Daniel Friedman is UW Stout's Dean of the College of Science, Technology, Engineering, Mathematics, and Management. And Ann Schmitz is an Associate Professor of Engineering and Technology at UW Stout, currently serving as Department Chair. Ann, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
And Dan, thanks for being with us.
It's my pleasure.
Dan, let's start with you. You say that healthcare in many ways is an ideal industry for the use of 3D printing. What makes it such a good fit as you see it?
That's correct, because 3D printing is really, it's a slow process, but it's incredibly customizable. So 3D printing is the ideal choice if you want to build something that's customizable for a particular purpose. And the most variable thing that we build objects for is the human body. So when you think of prosthetics, when you think of, like, if you're printing anything for a person, it's going to be different for just about everybody. And that's where 3D printing really shines.
And many people might have heard the phrase 3D printing and not really locked in on what it is. Briefly, what do we mean when we say 3D printing?
So it's basically stacking a bunch of 2D images until you get to a 3D product. So think of it as if you were to take a piece of paper, draw a design, cut it out, and then you take another piece of paper, draw a design, cut it out. And as you start to stack them, you end up with this solid three-dimensional part.
And as I understand it, Anne, I can 3D print with a bunch of different materials. And that, it sounds like it's really important when we're talking about the healthcare field.
Yes, that's exactly right. You can 3D print with nylon, carbon fiber, calcium that you see in bones. And that's really important for healthcare because it depends what you're trying to do. If I want something really strong because I'm going to put it in my hip, then I'm going to want a metal. If I want something to print for a skull because maybe you need to put in some screws or you need some reconstruction on the face, you don't maybe want something that's super metal or heavy, so you could use a polymer or a ceramic. So it really is all about materials and kind of what your body is seeing and the weight and the function that you want.
Dan, before we start getting into those specific applications that Anne was just talking about, it sounds like you at UW Stout are really making a push here to be a hub, a big player when it comes to 3D printing in healthcare.
That's correct. Well, not just in healthcare, but more broadly for a variety of different industries. I mean, 3D printing, you can think of as sort of a general purpose manufacturing Swiss Army knife. You can make anything for just about any area. And over the past 6 months, we have added five industrial level state-of-the-art 3D printers to add to our collection of existing desktop and smaller printers that we've had for a long time. And our intention is to open all this up for use by students on the campus, as well as companies in the region and across Wisconsin, to be able to access this state-of-the-art and fairly expensive technology, as well as the expertise that we have on campus in applications.
And how common are 3D printed applications already, like in existing healthcare right now?
So 3D printing is fairly common. I think the one that people are most familiar with is Invisalign braces. You go to the dentist, you can get your mouth scanned, and we can 3D print what your mouth looks like so that those Invisalign braces can be made specifically for you. I think some hearing aids are 3D printed, some facial reconstructions are 3D printed, as well as models for surgeons to actually practice a surgery before they go in. And I think Dan has a really good story example of that. So it's already used fairly common, I think more common than people really notice.
Dan, what's the story about these 3D printed, I guess, surgical dummies, these things that surgeons can practice on?
Well, I've been at Stout for 2 years. And before that, I was at the State University of New Paltz in New York for 12 years as the Dean of Science and Engineering. And I helped found and then ran something called the Hudson Valley Additive Manufacturing Center, which did a lot of printing for a variety of different companies. And one of the companies we worked with was called MetaPrint, and they would take medical imaging scans from doctors, usually CAT scan or MRI, and then take that data and turn it into a 3D printable file. So one of the most exciting projects that we did with MetaPrint was, I think it was on a Thursday where someone had to have an emergency heart surgery that was something very tricky. So they sent us a scanned image of that person's heart. We printed it out overnight, and then they drove it down to Mount Sinai Medical Center in New York and used that model to practice the surgery ahead of time. We had an advanced 3D printer, much like what we just are installing here at Stout, that allowed us to print in multiple different materials. So you could print a heart in a flexible material that would let a surgeon actually practice cutting it and suturing it much as they would when they actually did the real surgery. And then the person who actually had that surgery done stopped by the lab a couple months later to thank us, which was really neat.
And Dan, that's really interesting to me. When I heard about this, surgical model of a heart, I thought, oh, so you print generic hearts, right? And the surgeons of the future practice heart surgery. No, you're saying you could print a version of my heart that they
exactly.
can use to get ready to operate on me, hopefully not
right.
in the near future.
Yeah, I have a model sitting around my lab somewhere of my shoulder. I had some minor shoulder surgery. And when they took the MRI, I got them to give me a copy of the scan. And then we converted that into a file and printed it out. So it was a white solid material for the bone and then a flexible material that represented the muscle and other softer tissue. So it's very, very specific. And that's the kind of application where 3D printing really shines.
And it seems like, and you both wrote about this recently, a good prospect for this kind of work would be in replacements, like hip replacements, knee replacements, that sort of thing, where just like those ears you mentioned and the braces, well, my mouth, my ears aren't the same as anybody else's. Well, I guess my hip probably isn't the same. What are the potential for using these custom printed, custom measured replacements for things like hip replacements?
So is exactly what Dan is talking about, taking these images and creating patient-specific geometry. And I did that in my graduate work at UW-Madison, where we could take CT scans and MRIs, and we could create your specific bones, your hip. Here's what your left hip looks like. So here's how we want to 3D print your right hip. So it's the same. And another great application of 3D printing is it's not just the hip, but now that needs to go into your bone. So how can we design part of that so that your bone will want to grow into it and really latch on and that your body is going to incorporate it? So how do we make kind of this microstructure, this kind of grippy structure, so that your bone and your vessels will grow into it, as opposed to rejecting it?
And then I've heard this idea, Anne, of 4D printing.
Yes.
I don't quite get that. Is that part of what you mean, where it's going to incorporate itself, it's going to change with the circumstances around it?
Yes, that's exactly it. So the fourth dimension is time. So as your body incorporates it, you can have some pieces of the material eventually absorb away or reabsorb into your body. So that's why materials are really important. We want to make sure that they are breaking down into something that your body can naturally just clear. And then your body is basically left with its own tissues. Some other 4D applications are more thermal. So as the material heats up, then it morphs. And I think Dan has a really cool example of a 4D application.
All right. Dan, Ann keeps queuing you up. What do you got for us?
Yeah. Well, yeah, it was, this was some work that was done by an architect at MIT where they hacked one of these high-end printers so that you could print layers of different types of materials. And what they did was they designed a structure with materials that had different coefficients of thermal expansion. So just about everything, when you heat it up, it gets bigger. When you cool it down, it gets smaller. But different materials expand or contract at different rates with the temperature. And so they designed a material that was flat coming out of the printer. But then when you warmed it up, because of the different coefficients of thermal expansion, it would fold itself into a box. And it was, you know, a really, really cool application. I mean, it's the kind of thing that I don't think anyone's found anything practical, but for that, it's really demonstrate the kind of thing that you can do with this if you really understand the material properties well.
We're talking about 3D printing in healthcare with Daniel Friedman and Ann Schmitz, both from UW Stout. They're doing a lot of work on this stuff over there. Okay. Organs. My assumption is organs are too complicated. We can't print that kind of tissue. I am wrong-ish, at least, I think. Dan, let's start with you on this one.
Well, that's still sort of a high-level research application of 3D printing, but there's a lot of people that are interested in working on it. And fundamentally, if you want to print, you know, make an organ, 3D printing is probably the way of doing it, because organs are usually made up of multiple different cells that are arranged in a particular geometric array. And 3D printing allows you to build something like that from scratch. But, you know, there's a lot of complications right in actually making that work. But that the basic idea is there.
Dan, in a piece you and Ann co-wrote, one of the things that surprised me the most that I hadn't expected for 3D printing is pharmaceuticals, medications. We've got a lot of ways to make medications now. What can 3D printing bring to the table?
Well, I mean, one thing to keep in mind with all medications is the packaging is really critical. So you tend to think of a you know, you eat a pill and you tend to think, well, it's just, you know, one chemical in it, and you swallow it and it dissolves in your stomach and does whatever it's going to do. But there's a lot of engineering that goes into how fast a pharmaceutical is released when you get into your stomach. So a lot of drugs that you take are actually really carefully calibrated in terms of like how fast the outside coating is going to dissolve. The drug may be encapsulated in smaller particles that will take some time to dissolve. So all of it is trying to design it so that the drug hits your system over a set period of time. And since 3D printing is designed to build things in layers, it can actually be helpful in designing the packaging around pharmaceuticals.
And what project do you have in the works right now that's really captured your interest that you see some potential in?
So like Dan has mentioned, how 3D printing is great at complex geometries, my interest now is we have these 3D printing materials that tend to be kind of rigid polymers. So how can I print with it that is basically folding the material so that it doesn't feel like a hard polymer? And some great examples are in Mother Nature. So like honeycomb, it's this hard material, but it can be really spongy. So I've been working on those different designs, so different lattice designs to make these 3D printed objects more spongy. And things, you see these in the soles of shoes, you see them in bicycle seats, and I even saw some in a bicycle helmet over at Scheels. And so what I think is really cool now is with AI coming out is, can this now generate new geometries that maybe we haven't seen in nature before, but they can be tuned as a foam to help prevent injury? Or is it the next new line of shoes that really enhance performance? So that's really where my area is these complex lattice geometries that really can only be made with 3D printing.
Dan, I'm hearing, okay, on our list, we've got what? Biochemistry, materials, science, structural engineering, physiology, various medical fields. How do you take these kind of projects and bring them to all the players and then bring back that information so that we end up with the best products that we can and in the health field that make the most difference for the person receiving this personalized care?
Well, what I've been doing, it's a great question. And you know, the technology of 3D printing has been around for quite a while. The first 3D printing companies came about in the late 80s and early 90s. But the technology has been somewhat slow to diffuse through a lot of different industries, partly because it's really new, and it's also takes some different types of thinking in order to utilize it. So what I've been doing, you know, both in my previous role and now as dean at Stout, is really trying to make this advanced technology is available to as many different people as possible. So, of course, we do that internally by introducing it to students in courses and in projects. But we've also set up the structure to be able to make it available to as wide a variety of businesses in this region as we can. So we have an entity called the Center for Advanced Manufacturing and AI, CAME AI, which formed last year, which is basically our arm that interacts with companies off campus and does projects with them. And you know, we're doing some things this fall, like we have a CAM AI speaker series where we've got right now lined up one speaker who's an artist and a designer who does some amazing things with 3D printing, and another one who is an expert from our partner company, Stratasys, speaking on practical applications of 3D printing and manufacturing, and particularly his expertise is in automobile manufacturing. So we're going to continue to do what part of our mission as a university is taking these advanced technologies and making them available to all the different companies that can make use of them.
I will leave it there. Anne, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
And Dan, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me. It was a lot of fun.
Daniel Friedman is UW Stout's Dean of the College of Science, Technology, Engineering, Mathematics, and Management. And Ann Schmitz is an Associate Professor of Engineering and Technology at the University of Wisconsin-Stout, currently serving as Department Chair. They join us for a look at 3D printing and its growing use in healthcare fields.